Nick Herbert, Member of Parliament from the UK, thanks for joining us today. So tell us, how, as a Member of Parliament, did TB get on your radar screen?
Well, TB got onto my radar screen when 2 years ago I went with the charity Results to Kenya, and it was actually just after the regional declaration of emergency of TB in Africa, and so it was a really opportune moment to be visiting. And I think from the point of view of many of us UK parliamentarians, you know, we know about HIV/AIDS and the global pandemic there, we're told about it, it's on our radar screen. So to some extent is malaria. But when you talk to people back at home about TB, they think it's a disease of the past. And I think I probably thought that as well. And Results got in touch with me. They said that they were looking for MPs to try and take to Kenya to explain what the problem was. And I've got a long-standing interest in the HIV/AIDS issue and wanted to join them. And from that moment, we decided, the group of us that went, which was a cross-party group, to set up a parliamentary group, because the scale of the problem was really brought home to us by what we saw, particularly not just in the very poor parts of Kenya, in the suburbs, Kibera and places like that, but also in western Kenya, in Natal province, which is a very poor, the average life expectancy is something in the 30s for men. And it really brought it home to us that when we saw the conditions of the clinics and so on, that there was a serious problem here that wasn't being addressed. And after that, we've been to India, and now I've come to South Africa, really to keep abreast of the issues and to try and go back home and promote them to my colleagues and to government and encourage further action.
And as you're promoting the issue of tuberculosis, how would you rate political leaders' awareness and even your constituents' awareness of TB?
Well, I think, again, you know, my constituents are surprised when I talk to them about TB. They think that it can be vaccinated against. I thought that when I first encountered this issue. I remember dumbly asking that question in the very first meeting that we had in Kenya, and everyone sort of looking at me in amazement, you know, doesn't this guy know? But I don't think people do, you know, because kids can have the BCG vaccination back at home, people think that they can be vaccinated against it. They thought it was a disease that we'd eradicated in the UK. Actually, it's coming back in the UK now, not, of course, on anything like the same scale that we see globally. We've only got 8,000 cases, but it's been a big jump. And that plus XDR, MDR-TB, that has really brought the issue, I think, back onto the radar screens of certainly the political world. But I think generally the public still isn't very conscious about TB. They just believe that consumption, as we used to call it, is a disease of the past.
And you mentioned MDR and XDR TB, multi-drug resistant TB and extensively drug resistant TB, and how that's possibly brought it at least onto the screen of political leaders, but that still represents a small minority of actual TB cases. So how do you think, in your work, can you get political leaders more involved in just TB in general?
I mean, I think it's important to emphasize, as I did when I was speaking at the conference, that the interest which we as UK parliamentarians have is not a self-interest. You know, I think quite a lot of the journalists, when we go abroad, think that we're there because TB has arrived back in Britain and therefore we're concerned from a selfish point of view. But as I say, the scale of it is tiny. We have an advanced health system that can deal with it. We can afford the drugs to cure it, although of course there's huge concern about XDR TB. Our interest in this is a humanitarian interest. It's the interest that we should have as a developed, wealthy country and the responsibilities we have to others. And I think our political leaders actually have been stepping up to the mark. The great thing is that it's on a cross-party basis. There is no political disagreement about this in Britain. But the successive prime ministers, first Tony Blair and then Gordon Brown, have made substantial commitments to dealing with this issue through, for instance, the Global Fund, but also in terms of the bilateral support we give to individual countries. We are a major donor country, and the amount of money that we've been giving has increased hugely and is now being matched by all of the parties in terms of their commitment. So the good news is we don't have a political row about this at home. We have a consensus that we have a responsibility as a nation to do something about these pandemics, about malaria, TB, and about HIV. And I think that that is a principle that is a good one to apply in terms of, you know, what works in terms of dealing with these countries. It is when you put politics aside and recognize that these are not just health issues, but actually very often social issues as well. TB is a disease that is a social disease. that it is a consequence of poverty. It is a consequence of the failure of many of the countries to develop. And we have a shared responsibility to deal with it. You know, we have a responsibility in the West because of our common humanitarian interest. But actually the recipient countries, the developing countries, their governments have a responsibility too to ensure that they are putting these diseases up on the agenda, that they are ensuring the development of their own health systems, that they are ensuring the delivery of drugs, and there are various countries where that has been problematic.
And we're even still hearing stories here at the conference that TB drugs are stuck in customs for 6 months. So why do you think this is still happening in these high-burden countries?
Well, this is ultimately a question of political will and priorities, and you know, there will be differing situations in different governments. What we have to do, I think, as politicians, as political leaders, is encourage people to be aware that this is, you know, a shared responsibility, a great humanitarian issue. And we have a responsibility towards people who, you know, cannot speak for themselves. And I've seen for myself the consequences of failure to act. I have seen people dying in clinics who would not die in the United Kingdom. Let us remember that this is a disease that is killing 1.6 million people every year, wholly unnecessarily. It's an easily treatable and curable disease at relatively low expense, you know, $20 per patient. And it actually is not just a tragedy that so many people are dying as a consequence. It's a scandal. It's a scandal that this disease that should have been a disease of the past has come back again. But with concerted effort, it can be dealt with. There are great difficulties, you know, the difficulties of delivering the programs together with the HIV programs. There are the difficulties because the drugs are old-fashioned drugs which require a long regime, and therefore making sure that people not just have access to them, but, you know, stay on the regime and so on. There are the complications then caused by XDR and MDR-TB, you know. When I say easily treatable, I understand the difficulties of delivering the programs, but in terms of actually treating the disease, the basic disease, you know, we've been able to do that for decades. For decades. And that's why it's a scandal that people are still dying of this disease in the 21st century.
But in terms of holding governments accountable in the high-burden countries who aren't necessarily making these changes in their healthcare systems or letting TB drugs sit in customs for a while, do you believe those mechanisms are in place, or is there still much work to be done to hold them accountable?
I think there's a lot of work to be done in terms of accountability. And, you know, the message must go out to the high-burden countries and the governments that are responsible for delivering these programs and are in receipt of the aid that, you know, the developing countries have made a huge commitment and are being asked to do more, much more. Now, I think it's our responsibility to do so, and I have been arguing, amongst others, that we should do more. But we have British taxpayers for whom we are accountable back at home, and we have to be able to say to them, you know, the money is being used properly, that it is getting to where it is meant to go. And that's why the accountability mechanisms are important. And making sure that that the aid that has been given is going to the right place and is being successful. And so that must be built into the delivery of the global plan. And I'm sure everybody understands that.
Now, another country that you've worked in is India. You've worked with members of parliament there. Can you talk about what you have set up there and how you've been working with them to improve their TB control?
Well, the trip to India was a fascinating one because, of course, in many ways it's a divided country, you know, a country that in one part of it is taking off with fantastic economic growth, but where half of the population is still living below the poverty line on less than a dollar a day. And that means that, again, because TB is so linked with poverty and so on, that it is a huge problem on the Indian subcontinent. Britain is actually the biggest single donor to India and has a major role in delivering aid programs in various of the particularly affected states. And again, we see, though, to not such a great extent, the link with HIV, but some link with HIV in India. I think that what was really encouraging was that we were able to link up with the Indian parliamentarians. They were forming a group, just as we had formed a group, and I think that dialogue at that level, at the level of the legislature, is, you know, quite helpful, and we're going to try and keep those links. But of course, the Indian members of parliament in such a huge country, the world's biggest democracy, represent about 10 times as many constituents than we do as British MPs, so it was quite interesting talking to them and realising what the differences were.
Now, you've mentioned several times the link between tuberculosis and poverty. So how does TB fit in with overall development goals, and why is that important to consider it?
Well, I mean, it is a social disease. It is a disease that is the consequence of poverty, of poor housing, of malnutrition, and so on. And ultimately, were there no cure, were there not the possibility down the line of vaccines and so on, that might make us more focused on the fact that actually it is raising people out of poverty levels, it is economic development, it is fair trade, it is the bringing down tariff barriers and making the West recognise the responsibility it has for the economic development of these countries, not just providing aid to them, but the economic development of these countries, that will really provide the long-term solution. But what we mustn't forget is that, you know, yes, poverty is the cause of these diseases, but they are curable. And once people have them, then the governments themselves, our governments, we have a responsibility to seek to cure people of this disease, because we have a humanitarian responsibility. And this is a human rights issue, and as much as it is a health issue. So the two things are not mutually exclusive. Of course, there must be economic development. Of course, you know, in particular, there are parts of the world, sub-Saharan Africa, where, you know, that does still seem a very distant goal because of the particular geographic difficulties of those nations. Other parts of the developing world are actually taking off at remarkable speed. And one of the issues there will be, you know, what responsibility the West starts to continue to have when countries like India are actually now, you know, building their own capabilities in terms of their own economic capabilities, and they are going to have to take over a lot of these responsibilities, and the same with China, of course. But what we must remember is that this is an international disease. It's a disease that knows no boundaries, and the slogan of the World TB Day this year was, you know, TB anywhere is TB everywhere. And in the era of globalization, of mass migration, and so on, no country can be insulated from the effects of this disease. So even if we didn't feel that we had a responsibility to deal with it, I think we should sit up back at home and realize that it's not something that we can just turn our backs to anyway.
And last question for you. One of the issues that also conference organizers are discussing is healthcare systems and the issue of healthcare workers in high-burden countries leaving and going to more developed nations. So can you talk about why this issue is important and how developed countries can actually encourage these healthcare workers to go back to their countries and stay and help the systems?
I mean, I appreciate the huge concern that there's been about this issue. And actually, when we visited Kenya a couple of years ago, it was one of the issues that was, you know, a concern that was raised with us was the movement of healthcare workers out and over to developed countries, and Britain included, and the particular difficulty of recruiting healthcare workers in the rural areas in these countries, as well as the urban areas. Now, that difficulty is going to continue anyway. It's not just a question of them being denuded. It's a question of, you know, whether there is the planning, the infrastructure, the payment ability to keep a healthcare structure and the staff that are necessary there. But I think we do in the West recognize our responsibilities here. I have to say that in terms of our National Health Service in Britain, the era of the big expansion was over the last 10 years, and we saw a very big increase in the numbers of staff as a consequence. And that is actually not just levelling off now, but actually we have a now problem of recruitment of junior doctors, which is now the reverse. We have too many junior doctors in the UK for the numbers of jobs that are available. And so I think that the issue that we once had of the dangers of denuding developing countries of their medical staff will not be the problem going forward that it has been for the last decade.
Nick Herbert, Member of Parliament in the United Kingdom, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
Excellent.